Hi there. Welcome to Dog Happy. I'm Missy, and this is the second part of a two-part interview about the amazing life of Hallie, the surfing lab. If you missed the first part, it is linked below. So let's jump right back into the story.
Hello, and welcome to Dog Happy, where we help you have happier, healthier dogs, one interview at a time. Tune in for compelling stories with pet professionals, authors, and trainers that will educate and empower you to easily take action concerning the health and well-being of your dog. Now, please welcome the host of Dog Happy, Missy Courtney.
So you all started participating in a walk on water. And how old was Hallie at that time? How many years had you been doing that?
We started with a walk on water this season, their 2014-2015 season. And so we had been with them about 3 years. Hallie, at the time was, I'm going to say seven. And we had just come back from a walk on water event in Santa Cruz in 2018, August of 2018. And Hallie had a regular vet appointment. And we were monitoring his liver enzyme count because we had found out that he had a high liver enzyme count. So we were just being very proactive, and our vet would do yearly blood work and ultrasounds just to monitor his liver. So after we had found out about Hallie's high liver enzyme count, he had gone in for his routine appointment, and it was a Monday. We had gotten back Sunday from Santa Cruz. Monday, he went to the vet, had his normal ultrasound reading, and then we were hit with this devastating news that the vet had randomly, she doesn't even know why she did it, but when she was doing the ultrasound on his liver, she decided to go into his sublumbar area and found some lymph nodes that were, as she put it, enlarged and very angry. Oh, so man. At that moment, she knew that he had cancer. Oh, and I was like, what? I mean, I think my jaw hit the ground, because first of all, Hallie was acting completely normal. There was nothing about his behavior that would ever even make us think he was sick or battling anything.
Wow.
So she started to explain that after she saw the lymph nodes, she did a full exam of him and found a mass in an anal gland.
Oh.
So he had, the abbreviation is Agasaka. It's a tumor of the anal sac. And it was not very big, but she said it's a very slow growing cancer, but it had already spread to his lymph nodes.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was floored. I don't even know how to explain. I thought, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, how am I going to tell John? Like, he's at work right now. I can't call him and say, I have to go for a needle aspiration biopsy of our dog right now. He has cancer. Like, yeah. I can't believe I have to process this information by myself. But our vets were insane. They were like, we want this done right now. So you're coming from here. You're going to get a needle aspiration. We were calling the surgeon. Like, they were so proactive about getting on this as soon as possible.
Wow. That is so wonderful. Well, I've had a dog with cancer. Anybody who's had a dog or a human in their lives, when you receive that news, it is like being hit by a brick. And honestly, yes, your life is never the same after that moment. It is so difficult to process, but the fact that in some respects, this was still kind of Hallie's gift, wasn't it? They found it in, well, probably before it had gotten too out of control. So, and to get you all in and continue that. So they get you in for the needle aspirate, and then.
So they get us in, and immediately they say, we need this removed. I guess if you want to say the positive thing about his type of cancer was that it's very slow growing. So, but the idea that it had already progressed into the lymph nodes, they wanted to stop it as much as they could. So coincidentally, we're so lucky here in Ventura. We have so many world-renowned veterinary specialists here. And we have one of the top-notch surgeons. And our vet was able to get us a quick appointment with him.
Wow.
And he basically said, there aren't any surgeons in California, maybe one other, UC Davis, that would do this surgery. But he was going to remove as many as of the affected lymph nodes as he could. But it was very dangerous because it's right by all his main arteries.
Oh, goodness.
So he said, we have basically what we're dealing with here is I can go in and get the mass out and as many lymph nodes as I can see out. But if I hit one little artery, you know, we're done. So John and I thought to ourselves, what are we going to do?
Oh my gosh.
Are we going to let the cancer get him? Or are we going to, you know, put our trust in this surgeon who looked at us and said, I'm the best and I'm going to do this. And guess what? He did. He went in and Holly was in surgery for 9 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, for 9 hours. And when he came out, the surgeon called us and said, that's one of the more intense surgeries I've ever done, but yes, we're successful and we got most of them out. There were a couple lymph nodes that were just in an area that would have been impossible for them to take out without like doing extreme measures. So we were so grateful because at that point we knew now we're going to be able to go to the oncologist. Now we're going to be able to start treatment. And that's what we did. We met with our oncologist right away. She's phenomenal. And we started him on IV chemo. That chemo in particular wasn't working really well. So we went to oral, and for 21 months, Holly was on chemo and battled cancer like a warrior. I mean, we had very few down days with him during that whole time. Any side effect you could get from chemo, he really bypassed.
Did he?
He really
did. So this particular type of cancer does respond. So the path for that is generally surgery to get is to remove the primary mass, right? And then the infected or the compromised lymph nodes, and then chemotherapy. Was radiation mentioned, or is chemotherapy really the most effective offering for this type of cancer?
At that particular time, he was not a candidate for radiation.
Oh, okay.
It down the line, he became a candidate. But at that time, the oncologist was very upfront and said, we're not going to cure his cancer. We can't cure it.
But
we can stop it as much as we can. We can give him the best gift, which is the gift of time. So we knew that he was never going to be cancer-free, but we wanted to do what we could to delay it as much as we could and give him the best quality of life.
Of course.
Fortunately, you know, everybody was on board for that. Our oncologist was very firm with, I go for quality of life, not quantity. So it doesn't, I can't give you a time frame. So we just have to make sure that he's living every day is his best day.
How did you, that is so difficult, I think, for some people to process, to truly understand that sometimes that there, it really is all about quality and not about quantity, because you want to save them. You want to cure them. You want to make sure everything's okay. Do you feel like it was your oncologist, the team that you had around you that really made that, supported you and made that an okay path to follow, or,
I do, because Holly had an amazing team of doctors. A few years prior to him being diagnosed with cancer, Holly within 24 hours went from being a total normal dog to almost dead. And I don't say that lightly. He had a extremely high fever. He was lethargic. He wouldn't drink water. He wouldn't eat. He couldn't stand on his own. We rushed him to the hospital. He was in the hospital for 4 days. He had two internal medicine doctors that were phenomenal. He had a bacterial infection and they have no idea where it came from. They said the bacteria is found out of the country or found in salmon or trout from Northern California, none of which Holly had had. We have no idea how he obtained this bacteria. He was in the hospital for 4 days, recovered, came back to us stronger, better than ever. Here we are 2 years later, 3 years later, and we're battling the cancer issue. So those amazing internal medicine doctors that had saved him before were now his doctors again. The surgeon, the internal medicine doctors, and the oncologists have all worked together for years. So they just formed this incredible unit of let's plan out Holly's treatment. And everybody was on board for it. So I literally had this team of doctors that were just taking care of my dog. And every time I brought him in for his visit, wherever he had to go, they already were in communication with the oncologist. The oncologist had already informed them of what they needed to know. I didn't have to do any of that work. It was insane. But it's also what I look back and think, of course it was that way because everybody fell in love with Howley.
Right.
He had this way of making everybody love him. And they did. They loved him like we love him.
Wow.
And they wanted to make sure that he was able to still do his work and function and be happy. And for me, I have a really hard time accepting things sometimes. Like I want to know, okay, well, how many months do I have? How many years do I have? Yeah. And they kept telling me, Kim, you have to just take it one day at a time. And my husband, John, kept saying that. We just have to take this as it comes to us. Because I kept thinking, in a year from now, am I still going to help him? You know, and they can't tell you that. But as we plugged along month after month after month, we went to the oncologist initially every 3 weeks. We moved it to every 4 weeks. Then we got on a plan we could do 6 weeks. Then we had to go back because his lymph nodes, a couple of them started growing. And at that point, he was a candidate for some radiation.
That
was a hard decision for us, though, because radiation can have a lot of side effects, and none of which are like the human side effects. Radiation was going to have to be directed at his anus, it could bother him to go to the bathroom. It is inflamed and sore, and we didn't want him to have any pain. And so we were very much like, I'm not sure we want, we don't really want him to suffer that way. And the radiation oncologist said, no, I mean, this is going to be a series of five zaps. We're going to be good. We need to shrink these lymph nodes because they're starting to get really close to his colon. And then that brings in a whole nother factor. So John and I opted to do it, and it was five sessions for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And Howley did really well. The last session, unfortunately, he became septic.
Yeah.
He had sepsis. We didn't know at the time, but he was admitted to the hospital, and we thought we were going to lose him. We thought, there's no way he's going to come back from this. He was in the hospital for 5 days. He wasn't eating. His numbers were going up and down. And we thought, oh my gosh, what did we do? What did we do the right thing? But you know, when the radiation scattered, it hit his colon and it sent off some of that bacteria into his system.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening though, of course, Holly bounces back.
Right.
And I'll never forget the night they had called us and said, we got to get him to eat something. He has to eat. He's not eating anything we're trying to give him. So I told John, well, let's go get a cheeseburger.
Right.
And he'll eat a cheeseburger. And John was breaking it off in little pieces, and Holly scarfed that cheeseburger.
Oh.
And so we thought, he's playing us. He wanted a cheeseburger the whole time. And then the next night, John brought a surfboard and we brought him outside to walk, and he walked up on his surfboard and we were so ecstatic. Like, he's coming home. He's going to come home and we're going to be able to do this. And that was March of 2019 when that happened. And we thought, oh my gosh, he's got 9 lives, this dog. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give up. And he didn't. He never gave up, even at the very end. He just never gave in.
Do you think that it was also the fact that you all kind of, for the most part, kept up a normal life for him? I mean, he was still doing the things that I would guess would feed his soul, so to speak. You were still surfing. You didn't during the chemotherapy and during radiation, you all still surfed, right?
Yes. During his radiation, we didn't, because we just were focused on that 2.5 weeks and letting him get through that. Okay. But yeah, all his doctors even said, don't stop doing anything he loves. Go do it.
Do you think that made a big difference for him?
I do. I definitely do. Because, you know, even when they say with humans, it's your attitude, right?
Right.
How you approach it. And that's how we approached it. We, of course, John and I had several countless days where we would cry and be sad. But then we were like, we can't let him know we're sad. We have to keep this positive. And he had so many positive vibes around him. People, you know, Instagram accounts. There was one Instagram account. This is how we got to know her, at Wonder Wag. And she said, I made a bandana. I made a t-shirt. Hashtag stand with Howley. Aww. I made a t-shirt and she sold those and donated the proceeds to A Walk on Water. She made a bandana, an orange stand with Howley bandana, and sold those and donated the proceeds to A Walk on Water. I mean, we had people coming out of the woodwork like, what can we do to support you guys? Because we want to be on board with this. And one of our A Walk on Water volunteers, who jokingly calls John and I mom and dad, she's a very sweet girl. She came up with the hashtag right after he got diagnosed. She sent me a text and said, hashtag stand with Howley. And it was our mantra. That's it. That's what we were going to do. We were going to stand with Howley this whole way. And that became a big thing. Yeah. So people were sending us bandanas. Beautiful woman from Hawaii, handmade bandanas in Hawaiian print that said stand with Howley on them. We had so much support that I thought, there's no way this dog's going to give up. He is just being wrapped in love from everywhere.
Right.
So yeah, it was always positive. I mean, we had to watch him like a hawk, you know. I know it sounds kind of disgusting to talk about on the podcast, but just from checking when he would go to the bathroom, having to look to see, does he have diarrhea? Is it solid? Is it mushy? Is there blood? I mean, we had to be so focused on that, because that is what was going to tell us how he was doing.
Yeah, people think that, but honestly, the quality of your dog's stool can be the number one indicator. And if it keeps happening, it, even if it's not diarrhea or bloody diarrhea or anything urgent, just this problem with that can sometimes be the first warning sign that something's going wrong inside. So no, yeah. I commend you. Yeah. A lot of people get a bit squeamish about that, but it's so easy.
And that's what we had to do for 21 months. We're watching him. We're watching what he's eating. When we're picking up after him, we're checking everything. The real positive thing for us was, on his chemo, he never got sick. So I always prayed the day I gave him that chemo pill, please just don't throw it up, because I wanted him to be able to stay on it, because I knew it was working for him. And that was what was giving us this time. So I think how funny it is, like, we would go do whatever for the day, we're going to go surf, but our dog just took a chemo pill and now he's out here surfing. You know, it taught me a lot as a person too about cancer. I learned a lot about cancer, because obviously the treatment with a dog isn't that much different than treating with a person. The worst part about it is Holly couldn't tell us how he was feeling. Right. You know, we had to just watch him and monitor his behavior. But we even did acupuncture, which he loved. He loved it. And I felt like it really helped him, because when he was done with those sessions, you could just see that he felt like rejuvenated.
I will tell you, that's a wonderful thing, because I had a dog who had cancer, and I was so focused on the saving as opposed to the quality of life that it took me a while to realize that he wasn't enjoying those treatments.
Right.
So, you know, when you're doing these things, the your dog's behavior, mood, just their overall energy can really be point you in the right direction. Am I doing the right thing? In my instance, no. He would scooch all the way across the seat in the car.
Oh, right.
He would curl up in a little ball. Every indication, but you know, in my head, I'm just focused on I've got to save him. I've got to cure him. I've got to do anything and everything to help this. But so you actually did a wonderful job by realizing that you could see that he was doing well.
Right. He was.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you determine that the first chemotherapy was not the right one for him?
His oncologist. So it was IV. He would go in for IV chemo. And after, I believe it was 6 sessions, after his 6th session, when she did his blood work and everything, she said, you know, it's not working for him. It wasn't shrinking the lymph nodes. So she said, we're going to go to oral chemo and you'll give it to him at home. And that's another thing, is like, you have to be really careful. You know,
you have to touch it.
You have to touch it.
Right.
So I had to wear gloves and everything, but even as something as simple as, Primo being around Holly, like, you know, how if Holly would go outside just to go potty, Primo can't have his nose in that. You know, it was little things like, Holly was having like a bladder leakage issue after his surgery, and the chemo leaking in our house, the methods of having to clean that. I had to wash his bedding every day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was intense. But then the chemo pills, that it got better with the pills. He didn't have any bladder issues. And we were just in this routine 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Holly got his chemo pills. And it just became what we did. It was part of our day. He was on so many different medications, but he took them all and he was fine. He was happy.
He was happy. You could see. Yeah.
You could see. I always thought the day he won't take this is the day he's telling me I'm done. Okay. And he never did that. I mean, the sad fact of the matter is we knew after the first year, I mean, the first year was so smooth. It was like nothing, you know, it was like, oh, our dog has cancer. You would never know it. And then as things started progressing, you know, we knew someday this is going to come to an end, but we weren't sure what the end was going to look like. And it was the liver, his liver
came back.
His liver enzyme count went up. And when they did the ultrasound of his liver for the first, we would do ultrasounds about every 3 months. And the first couple ultrasounds after the first year, our doctors said, oh, look, it looks the same. It looks the same. And then pretty soon they were like, okay, wait, look, Kim, this is now the change. This has gotten bigger and now there's an additional one. So we knew the cancer had spread to his liver.
Oh goodness.
And at that point, there's nothing you can really, I mean, you can't do anything. You can't, it's spreading. We were just hoping it wouldn't get to his lungs, because then that's like torture. Then he's suffering.
Yeah.
With it being in his liver, you know, the good portion of his liver was still functioning. So the affected portion of his liver was okay. It was no big deal. He still had a lot of good liver function. But that in the end is what was the final stages for us. He went into liver failure. His liver became riddled with cancer. And you wouldn't know it because he still smiled and surfed and ate and played with Primo and visited our neighbors. I mean, if you had to just look at Howley, you would never know. But the medical end of it, we knew. And so what happened is he started filling up with fluid as he was in liver failure. And our oncologist said, we can do a tap and we can drain it, but I really recommend we only do that twice, because if we have to do it more than that, then his liver is really not functioning. So at that time when she told me, I said, well, what's our time frame look like? And she said, well, I can't give you that information because people can be in liver failure for a really long time. Dogs can be in liver failure for a long time. It just depends on how it goes.
Right.
And for us, it went really fast. Okay. He was in liver failure. And when we found that information out, like 3 weeks later is when we lost him, because that his body really started shutting down. His fluid was accumulating at a really rapid rate. We had tapped him twice and only 5 days apart. And at one point it was 2 liters, 5 days later it was 4 liters.
Oh goodness.
So it was happening fast. And then his whole left side of his body was swollen. And when I took him in, they said, now his lymphatic system isn't working.
Yeah, I remember seeing the picture. Yeah.
So
his paws. Yeah.
Yeah. So his paws. So that's when we knew. And that's when our vets even said, like, we feel defeated. We've done all we can, but now we can't let him suffer after everything. We can't let him suffer through this. He braved it like a soldier, you know, he was a total warrior. So we had 21 months with him since the time he was diagnosed.
Right.
Ironically, he was diagnosed on the 13th of the month and he passed away on the 13th of the month, which I thought was really kind of
Howley-esque, right?
Yeah, very. So 13, in my opinion, is not a horrible number. It's a very special number to me. But what I was going to say is, as soon as we knew that his system was shutting down, I thought he was going to show us reaction. I thought he was going to stop eating or maybe just lay around, but he didn't. He still was acting like, okay, I'm okay. But we're like, you're not okay. So on Mother's Day, actually, John and I, our neighbors watched Primo, and John and I took Howley to the beach for his last sir. Uh-huh. So he actually, 3 days before he passed away, got on a surfboard and rode waves.
Oh, that's
wonderful. I know. It's very wonderful. It's very special, because here's the thing, like, we were waiting for signs, but signs he wasn't going to give us. And our doctors even said, like, he's not going to give up, you guys. He's not. He's such a fighter. So
I think that's the hardest part, is trying to figure that part out.
It is. And I was really worried about it. And I kept kind of stressing about it. Like, how am I going to know? How am I going to know? I need to know how I'm going to know. And the doctors would tell me, you'll know. I think what was really magical about the whole process that we went through with Howley and the cancer is John got this special bond with Howley in the water. They had an amazing connection. I was like his mom. I would feed him. I would take him for walks and he loved me, but we really became bonded during that time, because I took him to his appointments, I dispensed his medication. I feel like John had his purpose and I had my purpose, and Howley equally had a different relationship with us.
Oh yeah.
And I'm so thankful I had that with him. It was
very
cool. But yeah, so it was quite a journey, but we had a lot of great time. And the oncologist had even told me after he had passed away that Howley more than likely had cancer at least a year before we saw it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about him really having 3.5 years
Yeah.
Or 3 years, you know, surviving with cancer. That's amazing. That's amazing.
It is very amazing. You know, one of the things that I tell my friends who have dogs who are aging or ill is for the planning, all you can really do is kind of prepare your options, because it really can be day to day. And maybe what you thought was a decline, you can get this kind of bounce back from it. And it's okay. You don't have to stick to any hard and fast date or time or, you know, option for letting go. Did you end up having to let Hallie go, or did he end up passing on his own?
No, we had to make the decision.
You did have to make the decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was based on physically seeing what was happening to him.
Yeah.
And also the amazing group of doctors we had, we had trusted them the whole time, and they never steered us in a wrong direction. And they were at our beck and call, literally. If we needed to talk to somebody at 2 a.m, we talked to them at 2 a.m. I had their cell phone numbers. I mean, they were literally there for us. So I felt like I have to put the trust in the people I trust the most, which is John. And I knew that, you know, as soon as John knew it was time, he was going to let me know. And I was going to trust that and our doctors. And our doctors had said, you guys, it's time. It's time, because now every day it's going to be worse. And this is when he's going to start suffering, because his body's shutting down. Yeah. And we absolutely, I didn't want him in one day of pain.
Nope.
There's no way.
No.
No way.
Yeah, no, I made that mistake one time, waiting too long, and never again. I would rather let you go a little early than to have you have a moment of suffering. And I know I go back and forth on that, but it's just the right. Yeah.
So, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, I mean, of course, it sounds like Hallie's life was quite an amazing life, you know, the life that any dog would dream of having, really. So the fact that you had such a wonderful team there to support you, how do you think somebody maybe who doesn't already have that team in place because of Hallie and the people that he drew together, what would you say to them to kind of how to navigate that part?
That's what I would say, is that you need to find somebody that you personally trust. You know, we, our vet that found his cancer, I thought she randomly did this. She randomly found it. And I was so thankful for that. She wasn't too involved in his care afterwards, because he was with his specialist. But I think if you can find somebody that you feel is doing the right thing by you and your dog, that's what you need to go with. I'll also add that Hallie had exceptional care. And John and I never had to make the most difficult decision, which was, at what point are we going to have to stop treating him? You know, it's very expensive. This is not, a lot of people can't just have their dogs have major surgeries and radiation and chemo. I mean, I can't stress enough. And I'm no salesperson, but what saved us was pet insurance. We had insurance for Hallie. So we were able to not have to make those decisions about what we were going to do for his treatment. It was never an issue for us, because we thought, we're having a company, our pet insurance, that's helping pay for a portion of this.
That is beneficial.
So I think for people that might not have the pet insurance, to definitely, you know, think in your mind, what is my goal? What is my initial, what am I trying to obtain at this time? And not think about 6 months down the line, but what do you want to do for this day? And find somebody that you trust that can help you meet that. And then I would also like to say, there are organizations out there that can help you financially, like the Brody Fund, who we feel very passionate about. The Brody Fund is a nonprofit that financially assists families that can't afford treatment for their animals. They can apply for a grant, and if accepted, the Brody Fund will forward some financial help for you. I think that's a wonderful thing for somebody to be able to do, is give the gift of time to a family that doesn't have the option. So look into, you know, your community and find out, maybe even word of mouth, who people trust. I will say that it took John and I, you know, we had a veterinary specialist that we didn't jive well with. So we didn't go with them. You know, it's a personal thing. You have to be able to trust the people that you're turning your dog's life into their hands.
Oh, it's so important. And I can't stress this enough to any of our listeners. If you feel uncomfortable, unsure, or any kind of negative lean when you're in with a specialist or a veterinarian and your dog is truly ill, you need to find someone else. You need to ask around to your friends. It is not enough that they're just a professional. You're going to be going through an amazingly difficult journey. You're going to need to trust and rely on this person and their opinions. And I mean, I remember in the middle of, my dog had a chondrosarcoma, which is a cancer of the cartilage, and he had it in his nose. Mm. And we had had it removed, and, you know, I was going through all the options to try and to help him survive longer. And I remember going into this internist, and because he had a nasal discharge, and the doctors just simply said to me, it's because he's going to die. And then he kept talking to me, and I can't even process it. I can't even hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It is so important. And that was 20 years ago, and it still matters, you know? So take the time to find the people that can help you the most. Also, ask your veterinarians, whatever clinic you go to, a lot of times people whose pets have passed, that they really felt gratitude for the care that the veterinarians have given, will make a donation. So sometimes your regular veterinarian will have grant funds available to help you afford treatment options. So that's another place to look.
We were also very fortunate and blown away. Our oncologist actually made a donation in Holly's name to UC Davis.
Oh, wow. You guys just had an amazing team. Yeah,
we have. And, you know, it's all come full circle. We're so thrilled that during our pandemic, we were able to finally have Holly's memorial service, which was his paddle out in October. Right. And seeing the massive amounts of people that showed up to honor him was insane. I mean, I don't even know how. I look back about the day and I'm flooded with beautiful memories, and seeing the faces of people that paddled out for our dog is beautiful, a beautiful ceremony. So I feel like we've been able to do everything we can to memorialize him and continue his legacy. I know the viewers can't, or listeners can't see right now, but you're wearing one of Holly's shirts.
Yep.
With our brand that we started, that's his actual paw print. And Holly Boy Life was created so we could continue his legacy. And we would also have the means to be able to give back to A Walk on Water and the Brody Fund.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Yeah, I will link those down below. So yes, I have the orange paw right there.
Yes, you know.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I love orange. Can I ask you how much it was? You know, are people looking at like $5,000, $10,000, or do you just want to leave it as it's very expensive?
I can tell you, just when he got diagnosed and he had surgery, he had his surgery 2 weeks after he got diagnosed. And the surgery, he was in surgery for 9 hours and he was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days before he came home. That was $13,000, over $13,000, just that.
So really supporting the Brody Fund to help pet parents not have to make these difficult decisions is a really great place to put any extra money you might have left at the end of the year.
For a fact, because it doesn't matter if it's $10 or $100, but that all goes to helping a family get some treatment for their pets.
Right.
I know somebody that's dog just recently was diagnosed with cancer and they want to start chemo. And she's like, oh my gosh, how much is chemo going to cost me? Well, there's different types of chemo. I don't know, but I can tell you that our chemo pills every 2 weeks, they were over $800.
Oh my goodness.
That's a lot of money. But the Brody Fund, you know, if you get approved for a grant from the Brody Fund, grants are generally between $3,000 and $5,000. That is a large chunk of money that can really help somebody get some treatment for their pets.
Right.
That pays for blood work, that pays for ultrasounds, that pays for medication. I mean, Howley had the best care and we never said no to one blood test. I mean, here's the thing. Our doctors already knew we had great pet insurance and we had tons of support. And John and I financially were able to provide this for Howley. So they already knew that. So to them, they were like, never really question anything, but they would say like, oh, Kim, I know it's only been 2 weeks, but he needs blood work. Well, blood work's like $180.
Right.
Or he needs an ultrasound, $300. But I was like, okay, whatever he needs. And we had nationwide pet insurance. And I'm telling you, they never questioned anything.
Yeah.
The best care. And I tell everybody I know that has a dog, get them insurance. How much is it a month? I said, it doesn't matter because let me tell you, what you're paying monthly is nothing compared to what you'll pay if something's wrong with your pet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. Especially you could probably get by without pet insurance, maybe from one to five. But honestly, if you, I did a post on Instagram, six is the new 40. A lot of people forget that, you know, when you're looking at your dog's age and I think using human context really helps a lot to help people understand where their dogs are at certain points in their life. And six is you're hitting your 40s and that's, you know, you're running in the yard and jumping on and off beds and, you know, maybe different medical issues that haven't been a major issue before, of course, in your 40s become a little bit bigger. And the same thing happens for our dogs. So I do think that even if you aren't able to afford or you don't want pet insurance at maybe the beginning of your dog's life, I do think it's something that is very beneficial to consider as they age, because you're right. I mean, it can be overwhelming and there's just no, that's the hardest thing to do is to have to make the decision as to whether or not you can move forward just because of money, you know, whether
for me, looking back, that would have been the hardest decision for me. If there was a point when John and I were going to have to find, because of financial reasons, have to say we had to stop, it would have killed me. That would have been the most difficult decision, because I know then at that point it would have just been a waiting game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't have been okay with that. So I feel so grateful. We did get Howley's insurance later in his life. We didn't have it when he was younger. We actually got it after his first time in the hospital, because when we got that bill, right. We should probably get pet insurance.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's usually the helpful push in that right direction. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And every year when the pet insurance would go up a little bit, just like human insurance, right. I would be like, oh my gosh, the insurance just went up. I go, oh, that's okay.
We're going to be okay.
Cause those bills are way more expensive. And anyway, you know, I'm just thankful that we were able to do it. In hindsight, I just look at the course of Howley's life, from being a pup to playing in our backyard, to running on the beach, to surfing, to competing in the Rose Parade, trading card, books. All of that is amazing. Right now we have our brand after him. But really, if you look at the bottom line of what the best thing was, is what he brought to other people's lives.
Right.
He touched our lives. and he touched other people's lives.
He touched my life, and I never even got to meet him. Just seeing him on Instagram was enough. That's the beauty of that. I really am truly grateful that you took time to share this and that you continue to take time to share Hallie's message. I think it's so beneficial, and it would be just a tragedy to lose it. So keep up the wonderful work. And I can't wait to see where this is going to take you guys, because it's been really amazing to this point.
I know. It's true. It has been. Thank you so much for reaching out. I actually really appreciate it too.
Oh, you're very welcome. I love Real Life with Dogs. What a great story and such an inspiring journey. If you haven't already connected with them on Instagram, please check them out at Hallie Boy Surfs. That's H-A-O-L-E Boy Surfs, all one word. And that's on Instagram. All the other links can be found below in the show notes. Well, including that one too. Thank you so much for being here. Please like and subscribe. I will see you in the next episode. Stay happy.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Dog Happy. For more information and videos on today's topic, as well as more ways to keep your canine happy and healthy, be sure to visit us online at doghappy.com and follow us on Instagram at dog.happy. That's @dog.happy with an I.